This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Earlier today, we saw shares of some luxury brands such as Tod's, Burberry, Moncler drop after China reported weaker than expected retail sales for September, even as the world's second largest economy expanded. We're really worried about that important luxury market called China. We've got another check on the luxury market because in a couple of days, the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show gets underway.
We've got Rafael Solo, Chief Executive Officer of Fraser Yachts, joining us via Zoom from Florida this afternoon. Rafael, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, Carol and Tim. Very nice to be back with you today.
Well, it's good to have you back with us. It's interesting. We've been talking a lot about the pressure that the consumer is feeling, price hikes. But my understanding is that, well, yacht sales have really never been better. Is that right?
Look, we've been going through some tremendous years the last couple of years. Despite the pandemic, we've all been through 2021 that was absolutely outstanding. We've never seen number of sales. I have to say, though, 2022 is a little bit slower. We are so far seeing a drop of 32% in the sales of second-hand boats. But, you know, this is probably due to many factors. One, probably the lack of inventory. So many boats were sold last year. And yes, but more also probably some of our potential buyers who are wanting to see what's coming next. But, you know, as you rightly said, the yachting industry has never been so doing so well. So we're very fortunate.
Rafael, did you say down 32%? 32%?
That's right. For the sale of second hand, we're down 32% in 2022. However, we're still ahead of 69% on the average of the last 13 years. So this is a very, very strong industry still going for yachting.
Rafael, there's yachts and then there are yachts. And we're showing
Wait,
some pictures.
Yachts are super yachts.
Well, yes. A yacht is anything you use for pleasure.
Is that true?
That's what people have said.
I don't know what the definition is.
But tell us. Go ahead.
We are talking about yachts over 30 feet here, you know. So the numbers I've just gave you refer to the industry of what we would call the super yachts, effectively. And I can assure you, yes, this is a lot of pleasure on board a yacht.
So tell us, who is your, like, what's the typical yacht that sells, like the majority of your sales? Give us an idea of what they are, how long they are, how much they go for, and who's typically buying.
Well, you know, this is a very large subject. We sell yachts between 30 feet up to 300 plus feet, you know, so it really depends on what you are, your customers are looking for. But the average sales today in the yachting industry is about 80 to 90 feet of an average price of 7 million. But obviously we also have bigger sales over, you know, 100 meter and a few hundred million dollars. So it really depends. It's a wide range of products which we have available in our industry. Now, when it comes to the customers, there again, you know, the American market leads the charge today. I'd say for more than 50% of our own sales at Fraser Yacht, we are dealing with American-based customers. And they've always been very, very strong in the market. I have to say we even have an additional probably 10% in 22 from the American market. So we are close to 55-60% in 22. And you not only see this with the sales market, but also with the charter market. The US market is very strong and they surely like their yachts.
Who is buying these yachts right now? Because my understanding is you're seeing a lot of Americans buy them.
Yes, absolutely. And one trend also, something which is new, if I may say, over the last couple of years, we've seen younger customers come into the market. So
how do they get their money?
How
have they made their money? In the past, we've heard it's crypto.
Well, crypto is one way. The tech companies, obviously, you know, we see a lot of people coming from tech, hedge funds, finance world. And of course, pharmaceutical world as well. So we've seen a lot of these newcomers to yachting. I mean, our company on its own, we have had 40% newcomers coming to yachting. 40% is a big number.
Wow.
And all these people have made our average age of customers going from 55 to 65 to 45 to 55. So, I mean, all these numbers are extremely encouraging for yachting. Number one, new customers, younger customers, and a lot of American buyers. So these, I will say, you know, as we say in my country, in French, you know, all lights are green for the yachting industry.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at bloomberglive.com/AI/radio.
We're talking with Rafael Solo. He is the CEO of Fraser Yachts. As we mentioned, they've got 17 offices around the world. They've been around for decades and really have a great global perspective when it comes to the yacht industry. He is via Zoom in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where in just a couple of days, the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show gets underway.
Rafael, we ended our last segment with you talking about American consumers, but since you have such a global presence, really eager to hear what you're seeing around the world. We spent so much of our program today talking about China. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing from Chinese consumers right now, and how is that different from what you've seen over the last few years?
The yachting industry has been trying to break through China. We're talking again large yachts, and you know it never been successful for many reasons. Before, you know, even the economics and the luxury goods, etc. One of the most important reason is the fact that this is not really in their DNA to be at sea on the yacht. You know, the Chinese in general. Chinese in general, they don't necessarily like the sun, they don't necessarily like the sea. And for them to be on a yacht for 7, 6, 8 days, it can get very boring very fast. So this is a market which has not been very, very successful for the yachting industry overall. You have some few exceptions, obviously, you know, like, you know, lots of buyers can come from Hong Kong, but mainland China, you have a very, very few customers today. I think that maybe with the future generation, a lot of Chinese are putting their children in, you know, Occidental school, as we'll say, and some of them are maybe more accustomed to the yachting habits and what it can provide you with. So we may see a development in the coming years, but I would not bet too much money on that market so far. And as you see, also because of the regime, is not necessarily very well seen to have a yacht and being seen spending your money in such type of goods. So the market itself in China, we've seen some few openings, mainly for individual based in Hong Kong, not many from mainland China. And this is not a very strong market as we speak today.
In terms of Hong Kong, though, maybe not a massive market for you guys, but has it changed too, as rule there has changed dramatically over the last year?
It has not affected yet
okay.
our few buyers whom we have in Hong Kong. They still are buying boats. And there's a culture of yachting in Hong Kong, obviously, by its proximity to the sea and its majestuous harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the fact that they were under a British regime in the past. So they have a kind of a yachting culture, if I may say. So this market remains. But again, for our own market, over the 80-foot boats, it's not a big, big, big game changer today, at least.
What about when it comes to Russians? I mean, we know that Russian oligarchs were big buyers of yachts. We've been tracking for the last, you know, 6+ months about what actually happens to those yachts in different parts of the world. What are you seeing from that market?
Well, you know, what we've seen about, obviously, the oligarchs, they've made the headlines because most of them had the largest boat in the world. If you now put things into perspective, you know, the Russian market for the what we call the mega yacht, the biggest yachts in the world, is about 17 to 18%. However, if you look at the yachting market overall, the Russian market is down to 7-8%. So of course, it has been a bit of an impact on our whole industry. But from what we said earlier and the influx of new customers, mainly from America, we've been able to compensate a little bit the loss of the Russian market by the arrival of these new customers. The biggest impact is indeed with the larger yachts, where you had obviously a main impact with the bigger shipyards, which were building the 200, 300 feet. Now, when it comes to the existing yachts, well, as you know, some have been frozen, a few have been seized, and we really don't know what's going to happen to these yachts going forward.
That is interesting. Okay, so what are kind of some of the interesting big trends when it comes to yachting? And I think about
one helicopter pad, one pool, one hot tub.
Or being greener, being greener.
I mean, oh, yeah, think about Carol. The sorry. Sorry, but I'm just laughing. Yeah, you're going to use a biodiesel to put in that yacht, right?
Well, you know, I mean, there's also a trend which we see developing, and that is really, I think, very true after COVID, where people see the purchase of a yacht as being like a second or third home.
Yeah.
So you see a little change here as well, you know, because of the technology, and people realize, and it also not so difficult to work remotely. So some of our customers, you know, they are not shy to go away for 6 months on their yacht and work from their yacht. So we have seen that shift as well, which I think played a big role into the yacht booms, which we've experienced the last couple of years. Now, going back to your question about green, I'm not a liar, and I think it would take years for yachting to be super green. Obviously, there's so much you can do with a yacht. However, our industry is really at the forefront of trying to find new technology and new ways to make yachting greener than it is today. So the shipyard are spending a lot of money together with the owners. You know, we have a lot of owners building new boats who are actually very, very keen to make a difference. So they are coming up with new ideas and plans and new technology. So today you have several yachts which are so-called hybrid. So like their name states, you know, they are boats which can remain without propulsion for about 8 to 9 hours. And that makes a huge difference. You know, 8 to 9 hours without burning fuel is already 8 and 9 hours.
Yep.
And not only it allows you to have a greener yacht, but also it allows you to really enjoy yachting in a different manner. No more noise, no more vibration. So I have to say, you know, there's so much we can do, but we can see that the industry and its role is making a huge effort and spend a lot of money trying to make yachting more greener than what it is today.
Hey, Raphael, our producer, Paul Brennan, had shared on our planning call that there is a 6-year wait list at shipyards for yachts. Is that, that's really the case? Is that,
well, you know, today,
go ahead.
Yes, today you can go up to almost 5 years. That's right.
Is that, you know, typical or is that historically high?
No, it's historically high. Why we're having that delay is for the very simple reason that the last 2 years, especially 21, have been just incredible, meaning that we have had so many orders. So all the shipyards are just full. There are no more space to build new boats. So whenever you want to come in some certain shipyards, you're going to have to wait, 4 to 5 years to get your boat delivered. And that's the reason why also the second-hand market has been so strong, because a lot of people don't want to wait 5-6 years. You know, you have that carpe diem factor after COVID. So they decided, okay, it's going to take me 4 to 5 years to build a new boat. I'm going to buy a second-hand boat for now. And this is where we've seen that that boom in the second-hand market. Now, you have some yards which have been smart enough to build on speculation, as we say. So you can find a few boats which will be available in 23 summer and in 24. But in some other yards, if you want to build a new boat, yes, you'll have to wait 4 years. It's a very long time to get a new yacht.
But if you, you know, make a big enough offer, can you cut the line?
No.
No? Okay.
Come on.
I mean, you hear this for airlines too, right? Like if you're waiting for an airliner. I don't know.
You know why? Because you signed the contract with a customer, and the customer has been obviously very eager to get his boat. So now you obviously have a few exceptions in the customer says, okay, maybe I'm going to flip my boat and I'm going to make an added value on the resale of my new build. In that instance, you may get lucky, but you pay more money than you would have paid then. So that's a choice and a decision. But I can tell you, the owners we're dealing with who are building a new boat, they are so eager to get their boats and are not ready to sell it.
Ah, that is funny. Listen, great to check in with you. Good luck at the International Yacht Show coming up in Fort Lauderdale.
Let's go next year.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
let's go now.
Ship.
Ship.
Excuse me.
Raphael Solo, Chief Executive Officer of Fraser Yachts. Thank you so much. This is Bloomberg Business Week.
Osage County, Oklahoma is getting a lot of attention right now. It's the setting of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is based on a book about the 1920s Osage murders, when white men poured into Osage County and killed Osage people for their oil wealth. I'm Rachel Adams Heard, the host of In Trust, a podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartMedia. For over a year, I was reporting a different story about other ways white people got Osage land and wealth, and how a prominent ranching family in Osage County became one of the biggest landowners here. Their ranching empire was built on land that at the turn of the century was all owned by the Osage Nation. So how'd they get it? Listen to the award-winning podcast, In Trust, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.